Hey Patriots, can you hear me? Give me a 5-5, you can hear me okay. Okay. All right, so today's show is going to be a little bit different because I don't have any music yet. So you're going to have to deal with that. And I'm driving too. Just stand by because we're going to be driving and talking. That's the whole show today. And hopefully the next show, will be, if all goes right, the next show will drive it. So stand by. We'll have a little music in it if I can get it all down. It's the first time I've ever used the Podbeaner app and live cast it through the Podbeaner app. So let's see what goes on. So we got all sorts of crazy going on today. So Patriots, it is Bards Fest week, if you haven't figured that out yet. Bards Fest week. And I'm en route to St. Louis. And I'm telling you right now, it's going to be an event of all events. So I left yesterday, and today I'm headed down to Utah, and then over to Wyoming, and then I'm going to be, should be arriving in St. Louis late tonight, early tomorrow morning. So that's kind of the plan. See how all this goes. So I hope everybody is doing well. So let me talk a little bit about Bards Fest. As you know, this is literally, and now this is going to be a little noisy. Could be a little noisy. I'm just telling you, Patriots, because we're driving and you might get a little background noise. So big trucks on the road. All sorts of things. So I don't know how, I really don't know how all this is sounding. You guys will have to let me know. The interesting thing is I'm using a new set of headphones. They're called Blue Parrot, and truckers use them all the time, and they are a noise canceling microphone headset, and they're supposed to be pretty good. So hopefully you can hear me okay. And if you can, it's all good. Now, Bards Fest. First of all, I just want to thank you all for an incredible support. Continue to support this. Your donations have been amazing, and it has allowed us to achieve something entirely new. This entire event now is Patriot funded, donation funded Patriot event. And I'll tell you, we cannot thank you enough. Please keep them coming. We're doing great and getting everything covered in expenses, and it's coming together beautifully. Our ticketing system that we have now, no more Ticketmaster, no more Eventbrite. They can all drop dead. We have our own ticket system now. So that's awesome. And so they don't get to take any money away from us when we're trying to have good events or trying to deplatform us. So that'll never happen again. And so we've got tickets that are donation based, so you get to set your own price. And of course, we have ticket donations to support it. If you can't attend and you would like to support, we would love to have your donations. And that's all of that's just coming together so well. It's amazing. So it's exciting because we're kind of pioneering a new way of doing Patriot events, and I think it's going to work really well for the future model as well. And then, of course, we've got Mike Lindell. He's coming on Friday for the Slipper Revolution. So make sure and get on over there to MikePillow.com or FrankSpeech.com. He's got some huge sales going on over at FrankSpeech. And make sure and use your promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, to get some great product there and continue to support his efforts. Mike Lindell has funded so much of this Patriot effort. It's unbelievable. All through pillows. Who would imagine that the most dangerous man in America would be a pillow salesman? That just cracks me up every time. So, go to BartsFest.com for your donations or your tickets. And remember, tickets are, you determine the price on tickets. It's a donation. You decide what you can afford. If you can't afford tickets, Patriots, and you want to attend, just make sure and contact us. We've got tickets. Okay? It's important. Okay? Well, we are in the middle of, like, Uber crazy. If you haven't noticed, yesterday they announced that they were going to activate the Civilian Air Command to mobilize and airlift people out of Afghanistan. The only problem being is that those aircraft can't land in Kabul, where all the problem is. But you need to ask another question, which is really important. Why is it that the military is needing to mobilize the Civilian Airlift Command when it has massive airlift capability? C-17s, C-5s. Something's not right there. My guess is that what we're looking at here is that the military is not supporting this action by Biden, the hand puppet from China. And I'm guessing that they're left with only one option, to use their corporate partners as a corporate state, which is the Corporation of the United States. That's all they have left, is to use their corporate partners to unscrew the screw up they did in Afghanistan. Afghanistan is turning out to be a human tragedy, massive, on a massive scale. However, I'm going to caution you on one thing. As much as there is going on, and I know it is a human tragedy, be careful with the media right now, because they're super fanning the flames of the tragedy, and that doesn't make sense to me. Tucker Carlson said the same thing the other night, and I'm agreeing with him. I don't often agree with Tucker, but I do agree with this. Something doesn't smell right, because they're really jumping all over Joe, and they're jumping all over Kamala, I'm not Kamala, but Joe, and the fact that they're going against Joe. So something's up. They're probably wanting to get Mattress Mack Kamala in office or something, you know? So who knows? But just be wary of that. Don't take all the bait. There's a lot going on over there, and it's a big mess that they've created. And of course, why did they create the mess? They created the mess because they needed to create a massive false flag for what is about ready to happen, which is the election audit results from Arizona, which, by the way, is supposed to happen on when? Wednesday. Ding, 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 ding. That is the day before Bard's Fest. That should tell you something. This is a big week. Can you imagine this? This is literally like God's hand doing his thing. I mean, who would have imagined that we would have had Bard's Fest and the election audit all in the same week? Only God could have arranged that right there. That's amazing. So, you know, the one thing I'm going to tell you about, I love driving through America. I really do. And the one thing that really struck me yesterday is I was going through Eastern Oregon, and it's such beautiful country in Eastern Oregon. When you get outside of Bend, they call it the Badlands. And the Badlands are just really rough and arid area. And then you have all the rest of Eastern Oregon. This is kind of like a desert open range area. And I'll tell you that the one thing that really struck me is how many farms or small ranches are abandoned, and how many of the small towns are dying. I'm going to be honest. I think the one strategic advantage that we have in taking back this nation is for us to start getting back into the small towns and revitalizing the small towns with our gifts and talents. That is where we're going to gain the strategic stronghold, because liberals are all about migrating into cities. I'm just like, okay, go ahead, take the city. We can't let them have well, actually, I should say it this way. We can let them have the cities, but the smaller towns are really is what makes the difference. And if by distributing that, by creating distributed incomes, and I'll talk more about this at Bards Fest, or distributed economies, we can really take a strong position against in creating a new breakaway Christian economy, which is exactly what we need to do. And it's not easy life. I'm not making this sound like there's no, some romantic vision about going back to small town America. It's not like that. Going back to small town America means hard work. It means rebuilding small towns. And in these small towns, it's heartbreaking because many of these towns have been devastated by not only unemployment, but by drugs. And it's just, it's taken a ravage on them. My dad grew up in a small town in eastern Montana. And this town only had a population of about 300 or 400 people. I visited there a few years ago, and it still has about the same population. And I could not believe the amount of meth problem that was in that small town. It was sickening. So we really have to be on top of the realities of what it's going to take to get back into small town America. But small town America offers huge opportunity to revitalize and reset these small economies. We have to start looking at the strategic advantage of breaking away from the main economy and setting up a breakaway Christian economy, very much as Andrew Torba's called for. You know, I support it very much. And so, anyway, that's kind of my quick thoughts on that. Now, the one beautiful thing about traveling America, though, on road, is you get to see God's country. And this is truly, truly beautiful. We have such a beautiful nation, a beautiful country. The problem is right now we have the morons of morons trying to destroy it, and we just cannot let that happen. There is no possible way. We have to start really gearing up for what is going to be the battle of all battles. And this is where this week we have to literally buckle up and get ready for what was going to be an epic battle. And the thing to keep in mind is this week is our Lexington and Concord. Unlike Lexington and Concord, where you're packing your musket with wadding and gunpowder in a ball, this time we're going to war with God, and we're going to war with prayer, and we're going to war with everything that we have to throw at this, and to opening the first day in the evening with shofars and a celebration of Gideon with 300 pots that are made by Jennifer Renee Anderson, handmade, all the 300 pots. She's bringing those in. This is, remember, that's the Jennifer's the one I interviewed with Southern Echoes. She's in Alabama, southernechoes.com. Just an amazing raccoon artist. We literally are going to war this week. And I think that's the part that everyone has to really grasp, is this isn't just a festival. It's been dancing around and singing, and we're going to have a great time. It's going to be an incredible time. But this is our focus, our spiritual focus of drawing the red line to where no one, absolutely no one, is going to take our country back except us, and no one's going to take it away from us under any circumstance. Just too many, so much blood sacrificed for this nation, and there's so much greatness in who we are as people to have it taken away without any sort of resistance because of some ridiculous plandemic and a vaccine that's literally out to slaughter the entire public. Now, on that topic, I don't know if you saw that Joe Flynn, as I have said, and now Joe Flynn has now come out against President Trump's endorsement of the death shot. Patriots, I don't know what's going on with President Trump. And I'm honest. You know, I love what the man has done for the rallying of the love for nation and the America first. But when it comes to this death shot, his persistent bragging about getting a vaccine for everybody and his latest comment that the only reason that people weren't taking it was because Joe Biden. That's just a lie. You know, if you think that's, you know, if anybody questions that, I'll tell you right now, I was arguing, Dr. Tenpenny was arguing it a year ago, making it very clear that this shot was not a vaccine. It was out, it was going to destroy you. So I would encourage you, out of respect for President Trump, and I don't know if he's living in an echo chamber of some fashion or if he's getting bad advisement, you need to start sending letters to him to tell him to knock it off. Because what's at risk here is not just his legacy, but this is going to become a massive liability. We're heading into an era that literally anybody that's been promoting this thing is going to end up being held accountable. There's just no way around that. And I think people in the elite just don't get that. They don't get how furious we are and how committed the world is to holding people accountable to Nuremberg crimes. And we will do it. And as much as I respect President Trump, I'm going to tell you, when it comes to justice like this, no one escapes. You don't get a pass just because you were a good president. If you've been promoting this doggone death shot, I've got news. The hammer's going to fall, and it's going to fall brutally. So we need to do our part and get over there and start telling him to, like, get some new advisors or something, because his talking points are outdated. He's out of touch with what the current narrative is, and he's, I don't even know how you can promote something that's now killed over, according to Dr. Tenpenny's latest whistleblower from Pfizer, those deaths are well over 200,000. So let's get some love going over to him and tell him to, I mean, he needs to be flooded with 100,000 letters or 200,000 letters and saying, knock it off. Mr. President, we love you, but this is a line we will not cross. And that, hopefully, if we can get that message to him, then maybe his talking points will tone down. It really doesn't take that much. It just takes, like, being smart. Just to say it. It's like, Mr. President, I respect you, but when it comes to the vaccine, shut up. Because we don't need any more of it. I don't know how else to say it. You know, we've been trying to be nice, but hopefully if someone's listening out here on his staff, I mean, like, if you're on President Trump's staff, pull your head out of your butt. That's what I'm going to tell you. Start acting like a real advisor and advise the man, not try to destroy his legacy. That is literally... So, we need to literally do our part on this. Remember, you know, the thing that is so important about this, and I think it's a good reminder, we have an obligation to those people that in leadership make our position known. Now, if they refuse to listen to it, that's on them. And then they're going to be held accountable accordingly. But if we do our job and we are pushing the message to them saying, this is what we're telling you, listen to us, then that's part of us being responsible in this republic and being responsible as citizens here of doing the peaceful and also loving position of standing where we are. I have to watch that word love, because I swear it sounds so new agey sometimes. Ugh. Love and hugs. We're all going to get along. We're going to hold pinkies and we're going to sing Kumbaya. And the world is going to be a better place. It ain't happening like that. This is a brutal world, man. And we have, it's some harsh realities. And I think that's the part that we're missing. President Trump is very much about doing the deal. And everything for him is about doing the deal. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just saying that's his focus. Unfortunately, we're sitting in a world right now where we don't need deals. We're not doing deals with the devil. The devil out here and his minions are trying to destroy humanity. And it's like, if you can't get your head around that, then maybe you need to step off the stage. Because the reality is, people are under siege. We've got globalists trying to destroy economies, trying to destroy people, trying to destroy lives, still trafficking kids, aborting babies. Man, I could just go on the list of stuff. These are sick, sick people. And I'm not going to sit down over a cup of tea and try to cut a good deal with you. It ain't happening. like a one-way ticket to Gitmo, or worse. What the crimes these people have done is just unprecedented. But I do tell you this, Patriots, we need to keep our prayers up this whole week really strong. Not only for those traveling, not only for Bard's Fest and what it represents for our nation, but for some real clarity on the way forward here. These people want nothing more than to create a civil war. That is their stated objective. They can accomplish a civil war. They're literally going to be clinking glasses and celebrating that whole thing. And that's where we just can't let that happen. If we really remember the story of Gideon, and I think this is where it's very encouraging, in fact, Gideon and his 300 didn't have to fight the enemy. Once they blew the shofars and they broke the pots of light, the enemy destroyed itself. So I would ask that you all raise prayers this week for that sort of outcome. But as we come together and we are praying and humbling ourselves before God through this week and in this amazing assembly, this revival in St. Louis, what I would pray is that the power of the shofar and the celebration of light, that we can literally get to a place where we can see the enemy start to destroy itself. I was laughing last night. Man, I'll tell you, wouldn't this be a trip? Could you imagine if the frequency of the shofar literally... if the frequency of the shofar literally caused all this nanotech to activate and cause these people to become zombies? They'd be like, what happened? Oh, I don't know. We blew the shofar and all of a sudden all these people started eating each other. It's like, what? I don't even know what happened. It's like, oh, that's funny. That was God's frequency. Yeah, God cleared the field for us. The enemy ate itself. Now all we have to do now is just find the ones that are left, and they're still gnawing on bones. I tell you right now, that would crack me up. That'd be a great movie, wouldn't it? Be like, zombie apocalypse, shofar. Probably be a blockbuster. That actually would be a great B movie, though, wouldn't it? Like, have all these kind of lurky black and whites. Walking around, and all of a sudden somebody blows a shofar and the neighborhood starts eating itself. I'll tell you, who knows, crazier things have happened in life. Like, I'll tell you how crazy life is. I don't know if you know this or not, but like 40% of the population took a shot that's going to cause them to commit suicide. That's kind of crazy. Anyway, we're well on our way to what will be one of the greatest moments in American history. And no matter where you are, whether you tune in live stream or whether you are there in presence, it is going to be an epic, epic moment to be part of. So we encourage everybody to be part of that. Now, we've been asked about some of the live streaming links. Those are going to go up probably on Wednesday. Make sure everything's going to, all that information is going to be at bardsfm.com or bardsfest.com. Same thing. You'll go there, bardsfest.com, and we're going to try to live stream through our own website, but as well, that's where you'll have other links like Brighteon, and you'll have the CloudPub link, and we'll also get up the Lindell TV link for you so you can have all that, and you can follow it along there. So it's really going to be an epic adventure. Make sure to share it, get everybody activated. We would love to see nothing more than several million patriots around the globe participate online. I think that would be rather incredible, frankly. So it is a beautiful morning here. Last night, by the way, there was an unbelievable, out in Eastern Oregon, there was an unbelievable blood red moon. And it was preceded by one of the most beautiful, brilliant red sunsets I have ever seen. And it ranks as one of the top sunsets I've seen in my travels. So we have, to today, a clear day. We're looking at about 58 degrees right now where I'm at, and we're driving along in clear skies. Eastern Oregon has a ton of fires right now. I drove through almost 3.5 hours of smoke, which always makes me grumpy because one way or another, these idiots have been jacking the weather around. We've seen that happen. And then, of course, the last time we had fires like this, this was a gift from Antifa terrorists. Were down burning the forest near my house. That needs some serious justice right there, I'll tell you. So we've got energy weapons, HAARP. We've got these big old cloud seeding operations. And then you've got the additives of the human factor that likes to light fires to burn nature down. It's just sick. It's absolutely sick. But they've 3.5 hours of driving through thick smoke that was so thick that at times it was like there was fog on the ground. And that's all from where I live out east. So that was something else. The biggest thing that we have to really remember is that the news, and I'm going to tie that back to what I was just saying, the news really gives us a distorted view. We know this, but it's not like I'm telling you anything new. The news is a highly distorted view of the world. The reason I bring this up, and it goes back to where I was starting earlier, when I started the show today, it's talking about small town America. Small town America is the richness and the character of who we are as a nation. And as I drive along and I see what's left of small town America, it's really like going through wastelands of memories. It's almost like looking at a nation that has gone from being a first world nation to a second and on its way to a third world nation. And that's a really sad state of affairs. We have a beautiful land. And it's a land that we need to learn to tend to steward, not just to build and turn your front yard into a junk pile. And I do see a lot of that. Unfortunately, a lot of that comes from just a world where we just don't respect nature anymore. But we don't really respect ourselves. I'm driving by a junkyard right now that it's got to be 50 acres of just crap parked and thrown everywhere. That's not the way we steward this land. We have to steward our homes, and we have to steward this land. And that's when I talk about county by county. Again, one of the big things we'll be talking about at Bartsfest is the responsibility of what stewardship means. Stewardship is not just stewarding what we're given in the sense of the wealth or the monetary issues, but it's also stewarding the environment to keep it in balance with what God would expect. God doesn't want us, you may disagree, but I'll tell you what, I don't think God's going to bless us with a house and expect you to put wrecked cars in the front and mattresses and garbage piles. That's not stewarding in any sense of the word. So I really see this era that we're in is an era of true awakening in the sense of not just being aware of what's going on, but in a spiritual sense of awakening to who we are and truly what our responsibility is. When I go around and I see the way that we live, so much of the way that we live is about living in this world, and rather than not being of this world. And if we would take this as a place where we are coming in to steward and take care of things, and I abuse that word, but it's worth abusing, we have a completely different relationship to everything around us. It's funny how when you go along, you look at small towns in America, and you look at how these small towns are built, and I'm going through one right now, so here's an example. There's always a gas station, okay? And then there's always fast food. And then there's a shopping mall. So, and then there's usually a hotel somewhere, okay? I don't know if you realize, that's the same model that we had when we settled the West. There would be some sort of a saloon or area to, I should say, like a watering station for your horse. So that's going to be, you know, it's going to be your place for getting gas now. You're going to have a saloon to get food. So that's the fast food now. And then you're going to have some place to sleep, which is a hotel. And then some place to get some supplies. So that would be your shopping mall. It is stunning to me how we have not evolved much past that model. Literally, we are still, every small town that I drive through follows that format. And you would think that after, you know, 150 years, that we might be able to come up with something more enriching in a world where we are supposed to be so advanced, considering that we are supposed to have gone to the moon, if we did that at all, I don't know. But we're supposed to have gone to the moon, and we still are running around here in the same technologies in our vehicles that were invented at the turn of the century. I think you get my point. We ourselves are accepting too much of this status quo as if it is normal, rather than pushing the window and innovating past it and not accepting the lies that are being put to us by big corporate. Part of our big push in going forward needs to be, as we set up a alternative, what I would say the alternate Christian economy, is we have to put emphasis on moving ourselves into a new era of existence. The center point to that whole concept is stewardship. And each one of us begins that process in our homes. It doesn't just happen. And what's the first on that list of all of those things when we talk about county by county? It's home churches, getting God back into our lives, getting God back into our daily way of talking, seeing, being, existing. And if we can do that, and if we can truly get to a place where we're living with and through God in all things, much of this that we're talking about rectifies itself, because we start to be again what God intended us to be. So these are just rambling thoughts as I'm going along here on the road, but last little bit to consider, and it's a very profound consideration when you're driving, especially from west to east, and which is really interesting to me, coming from Oregon and going to St. Louis, I didn't even connect this whole thing today, until today, but consider this. St. Louis, when they settled the West, was the gateway to the West. That's what the arch represents in St. Louis, is that it was a gateway to freedom. So it's rather interesting in taking this drive, which is about a 30-hour drive, by the way. And literally, like right now, I'm driving past what's called the Old Oregon Trail Road. This whole area out here was settled by wagons and oxen. People pulling all of their wares from they had with them. Many of them had never left or lived outside the city. All of them taking a massive risk to come out west and settle into a new way of life, to get to homestead and to start a way of being, of living that wasn't in the city. So the spirit that took and the strength that took was unprecedented. We go through these roads today that are paved, they're well maintained, and they allow us, I don't have a mute on my mic today, so I apologize because I might get a little hoarse. It's just the way it is. So anyway, as you drive this, you realize that what we're looking at here on all these roads, you have to remember they didn't exist. This was wagon trail lanes. big ruts in the road. They were, if something broke on their wagons, they had to repair it. And these wagons were massive, huge, carrying all their wares with oxen and sometimes horses with them. Families that may have never have done this before, and yet they were taking a massive risk to go out west to start a new life. We are there again now. We are at a point when we are all being given the opportunity to create a new life, a new world. Our choice if we choose to take it. And that new life is going to be up to us to build. There's a lot of concern right now about what's going to come next. Is the government going to do this? Is the government going to do that? Are they going to lock down roads? Are they going to force the injection? The answer is only if we let them. And the next part of that is, what are we going to do about it? And the biggest part of what we have to deal with is understanding that we need to be able to have the courage to do what those that settled the West did. We have to have the courage to break away, build a new economy, build a new world. People ask me many times, it's like, well, where are we going to go? We don't have to go anywhere. Literally, our new frontier exists in a digital realm, for one example. And in the other places, many times the frontier exists right before us. As I mentioned before, small towns are being vacated. We need to repopulate the small towns. We need to reinvigorate the small towns. And you're going to hear many excuses of why that can't be. People are going to tell you, well, you're not going to have the infrastructure. You don't have the shopping malls. Well, we have delivery. We've proven that. We have digital connectivity. We've proven that. And we're innovative. So, instead of seeing it as a barrier, see it as an opportunity. If you're going to settle into a small town, as an example, and you're going to go there looking for the conveniences of a big city, you're literally trying to buy into a world that's already made. If we take the attitude of those of the West, we will see the small towns as a brilliant opportunity to reinvigorate the world and start our new economy. So I'm a big proponent of a small town. I live in a town of about 18,000 people. It has a lot of potential, even well beyond where it is. And I think that every single one of us, if we take that attitude towards finding the small towns and breaking from the small cities, that also gives the opportunity to raise families more safely, to keep them away from the influences of the insanity of the communist indoctrination centers. You know, when you go into these small towns, what's cool to me, one of the things that stands out is the odd person that wears a mask is a rarity, not a norm. When you go to the cities, the mass of idiots walking around with masks are everywhere. So the roots of America have always been small towns. And the roots of America have always been small business. So I'm encouraging everybody to start looking at this model and how we are going to move forward, literally, and how do we create our new economy. And we do so by doing what they did when they settled the West. We start migrating. We start moving into the places where there's opportunity. We start revitalizing these small towns. We start working together and building new infrastructure, not based on corporate infrastructure, based on our own economies, based on our own infrastructure. And in so doing, we start creating the new republic. You know, by the way, if you didn't figure this one out, the new republic is based first and foremost on God on the throne above us all. That's the most important piece. If we will do that and reset this nation that way, we are in glorious hands, because as long as we hold to that path and hold to that truth, God will guide us and protect us in all things that we do, and we will truly accomplish the greatness because God will allow it and God will encourage it. What more could we ask? What a brilliant, brilliant time to be. And this goes back to the simple thing. What a brilliant, brilliant time to live. So if you haven't driven the country, if you haven't gotten in a car and driven coast to coast, taking time to go through small towns and see them, you need to. America is full of opportunity, and the problem we have is that we get anchored into our local communities and we start to believe that that's the world that exists everywhere, and it's not true. When you drive through parts of this country, like right now I'm driving by and I've seen American flags just stuck around. It's just amazing. Like one is just up on a bluff just beside the freeway. Someone just climbed up and put an American flag up there. It's beautiful to see. We've got a beautiful sunrise coming up here this morning. As I look over at the horizon, we've got windmills going. It's just amazing to see the innovation that we have as a nation. An incredible, incredible countryside to look at. Beautiful landscapes. This is real America. It's not the inner city hells. It's not the burning down of junk of Antifa. The Antifa coming out here wouldn't last half a second. They all think they're tough until you throw them out in the middle of the desert and they find out what they're really about. So take some time to get to know America. So I'll close with this story. During World War II, my grandfather was assigned to being a bus driver for the Nazi prisoners that they were bringing back to the United States to work on the farms. Most people don't know this story, but we were actually bringing Germans back to the United States to work our farms while our boys were over in Europe fighting and dying for their stupid war. One of the things that the Germans were stunned by is that their propaganda had told them that America was defeated, that they had been bombed. And when they arrived here, they were put on trains, and they literally rode for several days on trains. And they couldn't imagine the size and the scope and the breadth of our nation. The reason I bring this up is today, if you listen to the media, we're defeated. We've got a mentally damaged hand puppet from China supposed to be in the White House, which I don't even believe he's there. You've got a Pentagon that is run by a bunch of doofballs. The media paints the picture of the optics of what our nation is, but our nation isn't what the media is showing us. Patriots, when you drive America, you realize who we really are, how vast of a nation we are, how beautiful of a country we are. And it's so important to do this because it opens your eyes to the realities of what's really here, not the concept of what the media wants you to portray. No matter how hard we try, the media is always going to, the media picture, whether it's a patriot media or whether it's the liberal media, there's always a limitation to what it can show you in terms of reality. That's by virtue of just what we're dealing with storytelling. But what you can never take away is the beauty of what your eyes really see. And when you're out here and you see this beautiful land, it makes you love your country more. It makes you love America more. And it makes you want to fight for it more. So it's time to fight and make sure that no matter what happens, no one ever takes this from us. I don't care who they are. So this week, this is for God and country. This is for God, country, and family this week. And above all, God first on all things. And this is our Lexington and Concord, so buckle up. It's going to be a wild, wild week this week. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as I drive this morning to share the stories of patriots and see the beautiful sunrise sitting before me, reminded of just how vast and beautiful of a nation we truly have. Lord, we ask that you'll continue to bless the many patriots that are traveling to Bart's Fest, to bless the many patriots that are part of Bart's Fest, no matter where they are, to bring us together as one people, a remnant, to stand in your glory, to humble ourselves before you, and to pray for the healing of this beautiful land. Lord, we have made our mistakes. There's no doubt. We have stumbled, and times we've fallen on our face. We've done things in this world that are, we just have caused enormous amounts of pain. And we have leadership in this world who has deceived us and continue to use this country, this blessed nation, to accomplish their devious deeds. Lord, we pray above all that we can be forgiven for what we have done, and that we can heal this land, come together as a people, raise the remnant to lead us to a new era. Thank you for all you give. We're blessed by all that is given, and we ask that you protect us and guide us in the days and weeks ahead to bring victory back to you in this grand, beautiful country that you blessed us with. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Patriots, that's it for this morning. I'm going to let the chat go here a little bit, but no music today. Sorry about that. I'll fix it on the next one. I was goofing around with this app earlier. So I'm not going to sing for you either. You might like that, but it's not happening. Not today. So maybe another day. Or not at all. I'm not going to sing to you. Are you kidding me? I'm not singing you a lullaby. No way. Not happening. You might think you're getting a song. Not happening. Anyway. I'll get the music thing rigged up. And meantime, I'm on my way to St. Louis. And I'm going to have a wonderful time. And it's going to be an amazing festival. I'm anxious to see you all. I'm anxious to bring us all together. I get to be on stage like every single day. I don't even know what that's about. Somebody did that to me. Like, oh, guess what? You're on stage like multiple times a day. I'm like, what? And then, of course, we had our mod, Bear, who's like, oh, by the way, it is your festival. I'm like, I know. It doesn't mean I'm supposed to be on stage all the time. Like, guess what? I got to be on stage. So keep your prayers up, Patriots. Beautiful time. It's a beautiful nation. It's a beautiful land. I'm just driving along here looking at the river over on my right, the sun right before me. It is unbelievable. I am looking straight at the sun, literally. And because of the haze in the sky, the sun is just an orange ball. And it doesn't even affect my eyes. It's incredible. It's just amazing. Maybe the sun's burning out or something. Maybe we're losing our sun. I'm just kidding. I can already see it. There's going to be all this conspiracy now come out. Like, Bart says the sun's going to burn out. No, I didn't. I was kidding. Joke. Quick joke. Man, I tell you. Got to be so careful what you say. Never know. They'll quote you. The media will be like, we got some tin hatter saying our sun's burning out. It's like, no, I didn't say that. You know, what can I say? So keep your prayers up. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into this fight. This is a fight that you have to win. We all have to win this. These complete morons that live in the city have never come out to this rural area to appreciate what a glorious country we are. You come out here and you look around and you're like, how can somebody be so stupid as to believe that some microscopic virus is going to cause a problem? And these people don't think that way because these people live on the land and they live with the land out here. But in the city, when you get all cramped up in the little cubicle boxes, 300 square foot low carbon low footprint, whatever they are, they can believe anything, and they do. They're all mentally neurosis or something. So anyway, we got to keep our prayers up, because through prayers we connect with God, through prayers we heal, and we build our connections with one another. And we have an amazing movement here, a remnant that has got to continue to rise. it's going to be this remnant that leads this nation back. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God will always win. So have a blessed day, Patriots. I'll talk to you this evening. I can do live casts. I might even do an extra live cast. This is kind of fun. Maybe I'll do some travel live casts today. Should I do some travel live casts today? That'd be good. So, I'll say, oh, I got a yes. I think people say they want to hear me talk about the trip. That's funny. You're gonna get some Bart doses today then. Okay. We'll do. We'll work it in. I'll throw in some extra cast today. Make some Bart's trip. Make sure and spread the word about Bart's Fest. Get people over to the website. Okay? Remember, no matter what we do, God always wins. But I'm gonna tell you right now, I have absolutely zero intention of having God win and not having me there. I'm going to be there. So I'm going to pull up my lawn chair and going to sit back and watch God like do some butt whomping on this evil. Be like, ooh, boy, I'll bet that hurt. You shouldn't have pissed him off. I'm telling you, we were trying to tell you the whole time. Respect God. If you didn't like it, he's going to bring some wrath on you. Whomping on you. So there you go. It's coming. All right, Patriots, have a blessed day. Leave chat open just a little bit, and then I'm going to close her down because you don't need to hear all the car noise going on. But I'll talk to you a little bit later. You know, just keep your alerts on because won't be any announcement on these. I'm just going to do them as I go. Okay? God bless, man. It is a blessed day. So God bless you all. God for now.